Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, national champions, and gunfight survivors answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. And now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, photos, videos, arguments, other things. I don't know. Stuff. Memes. Funny online quizzes. At facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, the multilingual, Danger Pixie Actual, Melody Lauer.
Konnichiwa.
Nice. So we've done Spanish, French, and Japanese now.
So far.
Okay. You better keep track, because if you repeat yourself, I'm going to...
What? Are you going to remember?
I'm going to make you do a shot. That's what it's going to be.
Oh, wait. Except for you're not going to remember. You're not going to be keeping track.
Well, you want to bet.
Ooh. Now we're getting into betting.
Yeah. What do you want to bet? This is the minuscule sort of stuff that I have no problem remembering at all.
Oh, we're gonna have to discuss
important
this.
Things. Never gonna remember them.
No
stuff like this. Definitely, definitely. Hey, guess what?
What's that?
This segment brought to you by Lucky Gunner and Federal Premium Ammunition. Whether there was a firefight or you do, in fact, want to worry about that little guy, and you probably should. You need more ammo, and when it's time to restock, you can't beat Federal Premium Ammunition at LuckyGunner.com. With a shipping department that's always moving at 88 miles per hour, if I order a case of American Eagle from Lucky Gunner on a Thursday, it's at my doorstep, ready to shoot before the weekend starts. Head to LuckyGunner.com today to check out their in-stock lineup of Federal Premium Ammunition. And remember, unless you're on fire or drowning, you can never really have too much ammo. You know what's sad? I'm going to have to change the end of that ad just because Chuck Haggard has ruined it for me.
Has he completely ruined it?
He has completely ruined it for me.
Thanks, Chuck. You're amazing.
Wow. So joining us today, Caleb Causey.
Yay.
How's it going, Caleb?
How's it going, guys? How's it going, y'all?
Good. Good. So before we get started, I have to ask, are you properly hydrated? Because I know it's hard to drink water when you've got new little ones running around.
Yeah, well, I may have to start changing the motto from, drink water to... drink breast milk, but that may come across as taken out of context or whatnot, or somebody may really take that literally. So, but you got to stay hydrated, man. It's tough to stay hydrated when you got this 4-month-old running around the house. So,
you know, there's
a lot
an
more
entire
coffee and whiskey involved.
There's
than
an
water,
entire
I'll be
market for that on Craigslist.
Oh God!
I'm just letting you know.
You know, for the mom in the group on the show, you went there.
Well, in fairness, Caleb, you went there first. So.
Yeah, I'm just and following your lead, bud.
I hope you realize that I'm going to use this forever now. All the drink water jokes that I used to make, nope. In fact, I'm going to put, this episode's not going to air for a while, but I'm going to get it spun up. I might even have t-shirts ready by the time, it plays. So, who are you? What do you do? And I will make more jokes about your proclivities for hydration at a later date.
Sure. Yeah. I run Lone Star Medics. Who am I? I'm a medic been a medic involved with field of tactical medicine for over 15 years. And back in 2008, 2009, started a training company called Lone Star Medics, and it's taken off since then. and done very well. But we travel all over the U.S. Providing field and tactical medical training and consulting, a little bit of consulting the past couple of years. So think of it as we teach first aid on steroids is the elevator pitch, basically.
Nice, nice. So what's, you know, so medical stuff is kind of funny because for the longest time there, it seemed like it was very much just sort of ignored. And now it's almost, and I think this is a good thing. I'm not saying it's a negative, but it's almost fashionable to be like, well, yo, doc, where's your tourniquet at? I mean, that's a cool EDC, but where's your tourniquet at? And you, hey, what? No hemostatic agents? What's wrong with you? So has that been nice to sort of see that shift?
It has. You know, when I'm cruising around social media and looking at everybody's social media pictures while they're out in the rain, I can honestly say about 2 or 3 years ago, I would never see anybody wearing on their cool Batman utility belt or their plate carriers or whatever it is they're on the range with, okay? Or just, you know, your weekend warrior plinker with a range bag. It would be so far-fetched for me to see someone's med kit or individual first aid kit or IFAC or even a tourniquet pouch or anything like that. Today, you know, you go on social media, if you see somebody's dump, you know, pocket dump or whatever, or they're on the range, if you look carefully enough, you'll see IFACs on their belts, or you'll see, hey, they mention it, or they you can see a tourniquet pouch that they're wearing, you know, kind of open carry tourniquet pouch, if you will, instead of a, you know, EDC type concealed thing. And you're seeing a lot more of it. In fact, to the point where if you don't have one, it's actually the polite gesture and kind of a, it's an opportune time to make fun of your buddy and say, hey, no tourniquet, no hemostatic agent, you suck, you know. This is a horrible, you know, picture. You're on the range without a tourniquet, and we're seeing more and more of that. So it is good. It's good to see that shift, and it still needs to continue, and grow bigger. I mean, things like the National Stop the Bleed Day here, March 31st here last month, I think they're still rounding up the numbers, but just having a national day where these instructors come together and say, hey, we're going to offer a free class, and we're talking thousands of people took advantage of that. So just seeing this shift change in the mindset of, hey, now tourniquets and hemostatic agents, just medical training and equipment is now, you know, at the forefront there and is something that everybody wants to look at and take an interest in.
What do you think? We got a couple minutes left in this segment, I think. I was laughing too hard at the beginning of the show to pay close attention. But what do you think has been the impetus behind that? I mean, what sort of changed the conversation?
Well, I think it's a multiple of or a couple different factors. One, if we're looking at folks that do carry concealed. You ask them like, oh, okay, well, why do you carry concealed? Well, that's because I know that, you know, even though as much as we, you know, are very pro law enforcement here, pro police and want to back the blue, you know, but we know the cops can't be there all the time or get there as quick enough as we need them to solve our problem, right? Okay, well, then and then I'll ask my students and, or, you know, my colleagues will say, okay, well, what do you think happens when there's a car wreck? Can the ambulance get there just as quick as you need them? And they're like, no. I said, okay, well, if I showed you, like, two things and to carry, two items, and maybe, you know, a couple hours of training, would that be worth it to you to see the light? And they're like, yeah, okay, it makes total sense. Because the ambulance can't get there quick enough, then what can I do until the ambulance gets there? So, unfortunately, it does take, usually when I ask them why they've started the shift in the mindset of why medical training or equipment is a priority, two, they fall into two categories. One, something bad happened to them, and they came up on a car wreck scene, or somebody in their family members were hurt or injured, and they felt completely helpless, and it panicked them. They said, all I'm doing is panicking through that whole car wreck scene, or while we were on the range, my buddy, you know, somebody on the range indeed themselves or something, or, hey, somebody went down for, you know, a bee sting, you know, I'm not even talking about gunshot wounds, just they got stung by a bee, we're resetting a target. And they had a quick reaction. I didn't know what to do, and I panicked. Okay, but it took EMS 15 minutes to get there. Okay? Or So something bad happened to them, so they wanted to change their mindset. Or two, they see the value in it, and they kind of really took a, you know, a reality check to themselves and said, "Wow, I'm the top three killers in America. Okay, or four now, looking at 2016 stats from CDC: heart attack, cancer, respiratory disease, which is kind of vague, but you can dig deeper into their stats, and trauma." Well, okay, well, out of those four, three of them we can actually do something about, you know. So heart attack, learn CPR. Okay, take a simple CPR class. There, you just have a tool now to combat the number one killer in America. Trauma, then, hey, here's two items and a couple hours worth of training and maybe a one-day class, and you're now knocking out 50% of the top killers in America.
Right.
So it's, you know.
Well, and
people seeing the value in it, and then people seeing having something bad happen to them, and that changes their mindset.
Well, and yeah, and we got to go to break. So we're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics, and man, I want to make another joke, but it would be inappropriate, so I'm not gonna. And you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. This segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s and scatter guns since 1977. I was really excited to say Wilson Combat, too. A legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories, as well as the new EDC X9, which offers discriminating shooters, 1911 match-grade accuracy, superior ergonomics, and concealability, with modern service pistol capacity and reliability at www.wilsoncombat.com.
Well, and it's interesting what you're saying about how, you know, people either have those personal experiences. And I remember before I became an EMT, I had this moment where I was at my parents' house and my oldest, who at the time was just learning how to walk, had fallen down the stairs. And I was absolutely in a panic and didn't know what to do. He was having a hard time standing, and so took him to the emergency room, and it turned out everything was fine. But just that sheer panic and that complete, like, I don't know what to do here. And then, you know, years later, going through EMT school, all that stuff. Then later, my daughter fell and hit her head and was convulsing. And I didn't have any of that panic, none of that panic. I went over there. I did a full assessment on her. You know, was already had the steps in place where, you know, checking for this and checking for this and checking for this, and realizing the vast difference in my own state of just, what do I do here? You know, looking back, and it turned out that she was fine. But other than she's got a little scar underneath of her eye now. But so that was really a very interesting, stark contrast for me personally within the scope of just a couple of years. And you mentioned there, when you were talking about trauma, that there were two items that people could carry and you know, be I guess more prepared for trauma. What are those two items?
Well, I always say that we're the products we should carry. Or what was that first question? And I always answer that back and forth a question usually. But something simple, just to, it's
all hold on. We're having a hard time hearing you. So if you could change the position of your phone just slightly, you're making me want Chinese food. You know.
Okay. How about now?
Better.
That's better.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So the two items, I mean, it's, I always tell people, you know, because people always ask, what are the what should we carry?
Yeah,
and I would answer it back. I'd say, "Well, hey, look, think of the same thing when your non-shooting friends ask you, hey, what kind of gun should I go purchase?'"
Mm-hmm. It depends.
You know, like, well, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to go dove hunting. Okay, well, let's leave the Glocks at home then, maybe. So it's the same thing of, okay, well, what are you going to be doing? So, but here, but just the short answer is something that's control hemorrhaging, control bleeding. So we're looking at tourniquets, commercially made tourniquets. We're looking at hemostatic agents. And then some way to make sure the hemostatic agent stays in the wound, or however you're utilizing it, wound packing. Those are two really great tools right there that are pretty easy to carry and make it part of your everyday carry. And, you know, if you've, you know, so that those are two, the tourniquet and some type of hemostatic agent would be my first two picks. And that's typically what I carry. If you're going to be out running around at the range or something, then sure, maybe some chest seals wouldn't hurt, or chest seals wouldn't hurt either, or just different EDC, depending on what you're doing for the day.
Okay. So what do you think? I mean, where do I want to go with this? How do you think people should accurately assess what may or may not be useful to them in their everyday? As far as, does that depend on your career or your location or some combination?
Absolutely. The four things that I tell people, I ask, my answer to another four questions. And that is, one, what is your daily activity? Or what is the activity you're going to be doing? Or what is your mission? And that may vary from, oh, I'm bouncing around a Zodiac, assaulting ships at sea, or doing anti-piracy stuff. Or, hey, I'm kicking doors of bad guys and girls serving warrants as a law enforcement officer. Or, hey, I'm dropping the kids off at school, and then I'm headed to the office downtown in the cubicle for 8 hours, and then I go to the gym afterwards, and I'm driving in the metropolitan area. Or, hey, I'm out working in I'm a rancher out in the fields. So whatever that activity is going to be determined. The second question, too, what type of environment are you conducting that activity in? Because all those, examples I gave you all have a different environment. Some are isolated. If you're out in the farm and the ranch, then you're going to be, response time is going to be a little bit different. So also your environment also has to do with things like available resources. So how quickly can EMS get to me? If I'm downtown, Dallas, well, then, hey, Dallas Fire Department can get to me fairly quick. If I'm, out in the country somewhere, I'm out backpacking or hunting or something up in the mountains, well, then it may be that day or two. And then number three, how many people are you immediately responsible for? If you got a family of four and you're in the car on a road trip, that cute little sexy, IFAC med kit that you carry with you, that's not going to go far with four people that are hurt.
Right.
And then number four, what is your level of training? What is your, what are your credentials or what are your level of certifications? Whether you're the layperson that simply took, a lonely Lone Star Medic class, one day class, or, hey, are you a, an MD or a surgeon or a paramedic, EMT, nurse, that's going to make a difference too.
So I guess, do you think people overlook the reality of what happens if they're either in an accident or at a violent encounter or something where multiple people are hurt and maybe don't consider what happens if I have to triage own members of my family or what happens if I have limited resources and I have to pick one person to treat?
Sure. We're definitely seeing that and taking a more interest. In fact, a couple of the different classes that are some of our more popular classes and courses, we're actually adding to improvised medicine. And there's a time and place for improvised medicine. It shouldn't be your primary, but like I said, if you're in that family of four with that car and there's a car wreck, then, and four or five people are injured, and that could overwhelm whatever resources you have, whether that's personnel or if that's even your medical gear, even your vehicle kit that you have that has a couple different things and it's the size of a shoebox, let's say, kit, then, hey, that's still limited resources. So I'm trying to think how I want to word it. Kind of a loaded answer. But if you can, there's a time, like I said, time and place for improvisation. And triaging, or just the French word, big fancy word, that means sorting. That in itself was definitely, any ENT skill level, but it can be done by the layperson, but not even just sorting them, but now how do we treat them and what is our treatment plan going to be for these people? Knowing that we only have so many available tools at hand, how do we maximize it? So if I give you, say, example, a pressure bandage from Tactical Medical Solutions called the Elias bandage, that thing's really awesome. It's like five bandages in one, like $7 retail, but one of our classes, in some of our classes, we'll show people how to maximize that and how you can turn that one bandage into five different things and treat five different injuries, let alone maybe one person with two or three injuries and so forth. But there's a time, place for improvise, something like the Las Vegas shooting, an attack, that, where you're dealing with T-shirts. You can pack wounds with T-shirts. You can use dirt if you have to. It's not great. It's not the most... the best idea. That's not my first line plan of, hey, this is what I'm going to do is pack dirt. But if I've got people typically wherever you're hanging out are wearing clothing, nothing says you can't take a T-shirt and rip it off them and use whatever's left of it to, you know, apply pressure, you know. You can make improvised tourniquets, but it may not be worthwhile, and it's still a difficult thing to do.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned the Las Vegas thing, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but and we got about a minute and 20 seconds left in the segment, but there was a large percentage, I want to say 20 or 30 of the deaths that occurred at the Las Vegas thing were medically preventable deaths. And the way they define that is proper intervention would have prevented death. It just didn't occur due to whatever reason. Did you see that, or?
I'm still trying to get a lot of information, so I don't know, to be honest. The short answer.
And what that, you know, generally what that tends to indicate is that just people bled to death and they didn't stop the bleed, right? So.
Well, and one thing, and anyone who's gone through any kind of medical training, when you're doing triage, the most egregious looking, you know, wound or whatever may not be the most life threatening. And it's really easy to get sucked into the person who's screaming and yelling and ignore the person who's over there not breathing or, you know, more quietly dying.
Well, yeah, hold on. We asked like two multiple questions and it's time to go to the break. So during the break, Caleb, you decide which one of those you want to address first. And then we'll get right back to it. So we're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Purifier, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Purifier, America's beacon of freedom. This segment also brought to you by Purifier. Know your target and what is beyond it. But how can you really know your target? By shining a really bright light at it, and that's where Purifier comes in. From the new 1200 lumen EDCL 2T handheld or 500 lumen EDCL 1T handheld to the 1000 lumen XH35 or the 1500 lumen M600DF scout light, Purifier can make sure you never have to yell "Aziz light" ever again. Purifier, the professional's choice for suppressors and illumination tools. Remember, you can get 20% off everything at the Purifier.com web store except batteries and suppressors by entering the discount code Aziz Light, AZIZLIGHT, no space. So we're talking with Caleb Causey, and Melody and I asked two very different questions, and you got
now you get to go.
Yeah, now you get to go. It's your turn.
Okay, so which questions?
Were they questions or statements? I don't remember what.
Well,
we said.
I asked about, you know, triaging and.
It's not always the most gruesome looking wound.
Yeah, it's not always the most. And I'm asking you, you know, as someone who's, why are you giving me that look? Run with it, Caleb. Just go.
Sure. If we're going to triage people, let's say you've got, you know, 10 people laying there, and like you said, though, someone's sitting there screaming their head off at you, like, my leg, my leg, my leg. And you look at it, and it's, you know, you can think, well, okay, if I'm looking at circulation, airway, breathing, well, I've got airway and breathing taken care of. They're screaming at me, you know.
Right.
That's checked. That's not so bad. But if you got someone over there that's, their eyes are rolling back in their head, or they're over there having a seizure, or, you know, you look for massive bleeding, you know, you walk by, you're like, wow, look at that other person's leg, and it's gushing blood. Even though the person's sitting there holding their, you know, arm, like, my arm's hurting in pain, and they're screaming their head off, but the other person laying there with their leg that's spewing out everywhere. That would be, you know, like you're saying, Melanie, it's the same. You've got to identify that major bleeding first and start sorting those people. And that could be done simply because, you know, you walk up like, hey, if you can hear my voice and you can get up and move, even if you're hurt, move over to that tree or go stand over there by the yellow Ferrari or whatever. And then, hey, you started sorting your walking wounded, you know, from people that can't move. And so that's one step. I mean, there's a couple different methods to it, but don't just think, hey, because they're screaming the loudest, they're the most injured.
Mm-hmm. So as far as you kind of hit it, but for the layperson, let's say that you've got very little medical training, but you carry an IFAC or something like that. What are the things to look for and be cognizant of if you happen to run across an injury or a shooting or whatever it is? You know, assuming that the scene is safe, okay, so there's no security concern, and we're just...
You knew I was going to ask that, say that first.
Yeah, I did. So you've already shot what needs shot or put out what fires need put out or drag someone from whatever location they're in to a better location. You know, whatever the case may be. So we're purely on the, okay, how do I keep this person from dying until someone better suited to handle this shows up? Go.
Sure. I look at it as three different things, or three organs that I want to keep functioning. And when it comes right down to it, we want to keep the brain, heart, and lungs functioning. And if I can keep those things in working, then I got a viable patient until EMS gets there. EMS tries to keep those three organs at least working until they get to the ER, and ER keeps them alive until they can get to the OR. But it starts with us, and so I would say, yeah, look at the brain, heart, and lungs. So first thing is, check and see if there's major hemorrhaging. So circulation, early breathing. Circulation, two parts. Is there any moderate to severe bleeding coming out of the body? If so, we deal with that first. That's going to be more important than airway and breathing. The second thing is, do they have a pulse? We stop the bleeding. Hey, they got a pulse. Or if they don't, well, then we start CPR. If they don't, or they do have a pulse, then we move the airway and breathing. You know, when we assess it, there are stuff you learn in the basic CPR class, how to assess the breathing. Look, listen, and feel. So if you can keep the circulation, airway, and breathing intact, you've got a viable patient. I'm not really worried about if what their kidney's doing. Or their liver, or anything else really. Or hey, they're missing their left foot. Oh, okay, great. But with major bleeding, I can control that. That's my problem.
Right. Do you think that? Do you think that a lot of people don't seek medical training because they think it's more complicated than it actually is?
Yes, to some degree.
Do you know what? I know that sounds like a very odd question, and I'm not trying to oversimplify the things that go into high level medical training, but just for us, does that make sense?
It does, and I tried asking and trying to get some type of survey going of hey, why people are not taking these classes, not just because hey, I make a living doing this is what I do full time is teach this, but when I try to convince my friends that. My close friends and family that know what I do for a living, but yet they refuse to take my classes for free. And I get frustrated with them, like, wow, why won't you? And a lot of people think, it's not an official survey or anything, but a lot of people tell me, like, there's someone else that will solve the problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's some of the school teacher friends, they say, one of our coaches knows CPR. I'm like, okay, that's good. Are you, that's one person in a school full of 4,000 people. Okay. There are a lot of majority of the time people think are under the impression of somebody else will solve that problem for me. We really narrow it down. People, it's not a priority. They think, nothing like that has happened to me in all my life. So far in 30 years on this planet or 40 years, however old you are, nothing's happened bad like that. So, the chances of it are very slim that it would. So why make it a priority? If I have time and the stars align and I'm bored one day and it works out, I may go out there and take one of Cale's classes. So that's the kind of two answers I have for you is, one, it's someone else will solve my problem, and two, it's not really – nothing bad happened to me yet.
Well, do you think that people are kind of missing the point that it's – If you get caught inside of a burning building and it burns down around you and you die in the fire, there's not many opportunities to install smoke alarms after the fact.
Exactly. That's a great point. I'm going to steal that one, actually.
Yeah.
You're making a T-shirt of breast milk. I'm making a T-shirt with that one on it.
Yeah. do you know what I mean, though? Does it seem like people sort of, it's like, nothing bad's happened before, and it's like, well, you realize if something bad does happen, you might not make it through that, right?
I don't think that they've realized that yet. Or it's the fear of the unknown. Now they want to say, I don't want to accept something bad can happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's scary, or two, maybe they're just, I don't know, maybe they're not caught up in a whole idea that, hey, life is finite and there is an expiration date for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, and so let's.
Well, how do you think we get people to think about that? I mean, we've got, you know, we got about 2 minutes left in this segment, but how, and this is like, this is the question, right? And if you answer this question. No, nope, sounds like we lost Caleb. And we'll get him back and then we'll continue on with the show. It actually worked out pretty well because we've only got about a minute left in this segment. Is there anything, you know, you're an EMT, Melody. Is there mm-hmm. anything that strikes you as we're talking about this? It's like you wish more people thought about this stuff.
I wish more people thought about the idea that they could get injured before they even realize they're in a fight.
Yeah.
Like that could be the very first indication that you are in a fight is you get egregiously injured.
Well, I mean, not even a fight, but like even a car accident or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like there's oftentimes very little warning.
Your first indication of a problem is now you are medically compromised or right. traumatically compromised.
So we got about a minute left, Caleb, and I think you're back on the line. We lost you there. So, hello.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I hang up on me all the time because I don't like me very much. But as far as here, something to think about on the break because we don't have enough time now to answer it. But as far as all of this goes, just think about how do we make this salient and relevant for people so that they understand the stakes involved if they don't get it right the first time. So think about that. We're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Surefire, the professional choice for stressors and elimination tools. Surefire, America's beacon of freedom. So we're talking with Caleb Causey from Lone Star Medics, and hopefully I do not anger him again, because I'd hate for him to hang up on me a second time. But before the break, I was asking you, how do we make this salient for people? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, it's, you know, it depends on who we're talking to. You know, what's the old saying? You can tell you to lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely a fine line that even I have to, you know, ride being a business owner that's someone that makes a living on this because I don't want to come across as the ambulance chaser and, hey, well, yeah, this is a big thing in fear-mongering. It's like, no, here's the facts and here's from the scientists that say this is how the injuries are and your likelihood of coming across these injuries and this method of death. Oh, cool. Hey, I happen to have some ways we can prevent that from happening, you know, or not from happening, but minimize the aftermath. You know, I can't, evil exists. I can't, you know, predict evil or prevent it 100%, but there's definitely a lot of things that we can do, whether it's carrying your firearm, you know, or carrying a flashlight, you know, or not being a distracted driver, but we can minimize the things, but there's a lot of stuff we can do to minimize the aftermath as well.
And
that's been one approach.
Well, and it seems like, too, and I... You know, it feels very hypocritical of me to be preachy about something like this because there's plenty of things that we all do in our everyday life, all of us, that we know for a fact are dangerous or have negative outcomes associated with them, whether that's, you know, taking the second helping of, you know, carb heavy, you know, sugary foods or
smoking
or looking at the, you know, whatever it is. So, I mean, like, I understand too, but it's kind of funny where people draw that line and don't draw that line, don't you think?
It's funny and frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, because we're all three of us are really passionate about what we do. And we want to share that information and share that knowledge with our friends and family and some strangers. But it can be frustrating. But it is interesting to sit back and, you know, kind of look at it and think, wow, your mindset's completely flawed. But you can't tell that to people. You know, you can't say, hey, if you're not doing this, then you're messed up. they may look at it and say, well, you're taking that class, or you're doing this, and your mindset's messed up, you know. But it's definitely, like we said in the beginning of the interview, the mindset has shifted, and people are opening up to it. I'm seeing a lot of people when I first started the business from the firearms community taking my classes, and I'm seeing now a lot more and more that are not involved with the firearms community or industry, or people that are not, you know, CHL holders, or, you know, they're kind of like, well, you guys all, you know, that are not they're not the type of person that carries concealed. They're not involved with the firearms industry or community. They just say, yeah, you know, everybody else, I guess.
I guess I'll die. I mean, that's essentially what they're saying is like, well, I guess I'll die.
Well, you said
and
something.
And I've had that conversation too with people. I've had a close friend that said, well, if that happens and I'm attacked in the house, my son and I will just die. We'll go with Jesus. And I'm like, okay, that's great. If that's your mentality and your mindset and your beliefs and you accept that and you have no problem with that, I have no problem with that.
Hmm.
You know, and it was shocking, but I said, you know, I can't, that's not for me to judge them on their beliefs for that. Now, interesting thing that the husband piped up and said, well, wait a minute, I may have something to say about that.
Yeah,
I don't want to die.
And that was a really great conversation, but I won't go into that one off, you know, off in the weeds on that one. But it was really good, you know, conversation started.
Well, and what's interesting is sometimes people are more spurred by the idea of helping other people than they are themselves either. Some people are totally fine with the idea of, well, I guess I will die. But then you talk about, like, well, what about your kid? Or what about your loved one? Or, you know, then they're like, oh, wait, you're right. I don't want to watch them die. Sometimes that will spur action as well.
Yeah, I think Paul Gomez said it. You know, the late, great Paul Gomez said, watching your buddy bleed out and die sucks.
Mm-hmm. So I have question for you. In the very beginning, you said that, because we were talking about how there is a positive trend towards instructors and even lay people on, you know, on lines and stuff having IFACs and having tourniquets on their belts. And you said an interesting comment that we didn't really follow up on, and that was that it has gotten a lot better, but there's further that we could go. What would be your vision for that further?
I guess it would be, it's kind of like saying, hey, that's if someone for the audience listening, I guess, put it in perspective here for our audience. It's kind of the same thing with when your friend says, you and your, one of your non-shooting friends says, hey, I was thinking about getting a firearm for self-defense in the home. What do you recommend? You know, we've all had those conversations with our friends like that, and we've all had conversations amongst ourselves about that. And we all know, hey, where do we guide them? Like, okay, they purchased the tool. Okay, great. Now they need training, education on that, how to implement that tool effectively and efficiently, right? I would say now that we've got people seeing, I'm seeing a lot of people, you know, carrying med kits, and I ask them, well, do you have any training on it? And majority of people say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. The tool on your belt that you're probably going to use in the next 12 months, you don't want any training on it. Okay, that's fine. I don't care if you take a Lone Star Medic class or my quote-unquote competitors' classes. They're my colleagues or my buddies to promote them. But formal training on that, but also because when they're in that training, you're going to learn which tools are better and which tools work and which tools don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're still seeing a lot of, when I see other companies, training companies, and they put out videos or pictures, and I'm like, why are they making their students do that? I'm not saying we have to regulate ourselves a little bit, but we see the same thing in the firearms industry and the firearms training industry where they're on the range. You're like, why are they making students do that silly skill or drill or whatever? You know, so I would say, yes, it's great, but let's focus really on education, because even if we are another Vegas attack or something where a car wreck where several people are hurt, well, I can improvise. If I understand how a tourniquet works and how wound packing works, I can improvise a lot, you know, some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And still save lives. But you have to have the education for that.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't want to make it up as you go. That's, you can, but it's rough.
So you said there's some things that you're seeing that you're like, what's an example of something that you saw that you were just like, why are they having them do that? Or what good is that?
Let me see. Some things here recently. One has always been the equipment. You know, we're all in the firearms industry, really, you know, toy driven, I guess. We're like, hey, what's the latest and greatest? We all want something cool. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. Just know that, A, there's limitations of the cool toys out there and tools. But I would say the equipment. Like we've seen some controversy. Well, I dare use the word controversy. But there's a lot of products out there that have science and data to prove that they don't work. Or, two, there isn't any science or data to prove that they do work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Some instructors are better than others. I still advocate for my students and everyone to say, go take other people's classes. I know it's a bad business model, but why do I want other my students and other people to go take other people's classes? Because you're going to learn how to skin that cat different ways. And you're going to gain something, even if from a really bad instructor. And we've all had bad instructors, but we learned something from them.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least maybe not how not to do something. But, certain wound packing skills here recently, I've had a conversation with a colleague about, we noticed like, hey, why are they packing a wound that way and taking the hemostatic agent all out of the packaging and over their shoulder and weird stuff? I don't understand that. And, hey, what equipment you see them in, some firearm trainer celebrity that they've got that's well known in the industry, but they've got in their med kit some, subpar tourniquet or product in their IFAC. And you're like, why would you carry that? Oh, because it does this. I'm like, no, we have science that says it doesn't do that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we're coming up on the end of the show, man. So if people want to take a class with you or want to find out more about how you like to stay hydrated, where can they get that information at?
You can check us out at LoneStarMedics.com, like the Lone Star State, not L-O-A-N. I don't do mortgage loans. But the LoneStarMedics.com, and then also on social media like Instagram and Facebook, on our Facebook page.
Cool. Man, I really appreciate you you taking time out of your day to talk to us, and especially of a morning, because are you getting much sleep right now, brother, or not so much?
Not much. The kid, he's kind of, I guess they tell you when they turn 4 months, they start going back and they forget how they were supposed to sleep for 6 hours, and they don't like eating their, taking the bottle. It's weird. It's like he just forgot everything for the past 4 months.
Well,
so,
it's
trying.
There's,
I had no idea yet.
Yeah, no, I'm sitting here going, just you wait. Well,
no, it's not that bad.
Yeah, shut up. All right, man. Hey, be safe. I will talk to you soon, brother, okay? All righty. Make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Keep leaving those 5-star review on iTunes. Really appreciate it. Helps us out. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe. See you next week.